Bezras Hashem Yisbarech, today's daf is Samach Zayin in Maseches Yuma. It's the 530th daf in Shas. Our daf is going to pick up with the trek of the Ish Iti that we learned about yesterday, who took the Seira Mishtaleach to the Midbar, and the Mishnah will describe that trek to the Midbar and ultimately the disembarkment from the cliff for the Seira Mishtaleach as a kapara for Klal Yisrael. The Mishnah will describe that there were sukkos, there were 10 sukkos on the way to that ravine from Yerushalayim, and the Gemara will talk about the distance between those huts. The Gemara will also describe and analyze what the Mishnah mentions, that part of the red thread that was on the head of the Seir was attached to a rock that was next to the ravine. And the Gemara will talk about the different customs at different times of the Beis HaMikdash, of how that thread was tied. The Gemara in the bottom of the Amud will discuss the halachos of deriving benefit from the Evarim, the limbs that came apart from the Seir HaMishtaleach when it was thrown down the ravine. The Gemara then will discuss some different explanations to the meaning of the word Azazel. It's a Seir HaMishtaleach La'Azazel. What does that word mean? And the Gemara will talk about different Averos that it could make reference to. And the Gemara will then talk about the big three. The big three of Gilui Arayos and Shvichas Domim and Avodah Zarah, as well as a couple of other Averos Chamuros that might be referenced to in the word of Azazel. Finally, the Mishnah will describe that the Mishaleach, his begadim become tameh. The pasuk says of Mishaleach es ha'seir yichabes begadav, and the Gemara will give us some halachos about that. And then the Mishnah on the bottom of Samach Zayin Amebeis will return to the Beis Hamikdash, if you will, where the Kohen Gadol is going to be coming back to the par and the seir hanisrafim and doing more avoda towards the end of the Avodas Kohen Gadol, the Yom HaKippurim. Let's Be'ezer Hashem begin our Mishnah on the bottom of Samach Vav Amud Beis. Miyakira Yerushalayim Hayim Lav Nosa Tzukah Rishona. Those who were dear to Yerushalayim, according to Rashi, that refers to the Chashuve Yerushalayim, the people who were the elders and respected people of Yerushalayim, they would escort the Ish Iti with the Azazel until the first sukkah that was of 10 sukkahs that were there to help escort the Ish Iti. Rashi explains in the last line on Samach Vav Amud Beis that there were 10 sukkahs that were made, and Rashi adds that people went to live in either of those 10 sukkahs, and those people would escort the Ish Iti from sukkah to sukkah. So, back into our Mishnah, Ad Sukkah Rishona. Ez Sukkos Yerushalayim Ve'ad Sok. There were 10 sukkahs between Yerushalayim and the ravine. The Gemara now, Mishnah actually, now calculates on top of Samach Zayin Amud Aleph the distance between Yerushalayim until the Tzok. Tishim Ris. It was 90 Ris. Now, what a Ris is, we're going to see in a moment by the calculation of the Mishnah. Shiva U'mechtza L'chol Mil. Were 7.5 ris for every mil. Each mil is 2,000 amos. That's the length of 2,000 amos. And a ris is approximately 1/7 of 2,000 amos. Says the Mishnah, Al kol sukkah v'sukkah, omrim lo, harei mazon v'harei mayim. They would offer the fellow food on Yom HaKippurim. The Gemara will tell us they offered him, but he didn't eat it. Umlavin also misukkah l'sukkah, and they would escort him from one sukkah to the next. Chutz me'achron shebehen she'ena magia imo l'tzok. Except for the last sukkah, there they would not escort him to the ravine. Ela omen me'rachok, they would stand from a distance, v'roa es ma'isev, and watch him throwing the goat off. Maya osa, what did he do when he reached the ravine? Cholek lashon shel zehiros, he would divide, cut in half, the band that was on the seer's head, chetziv kasher besala, and he would tie half of it to a rock next to the ravine, v'chetziv kasher b'shnei karnav, and the other half would be tied to the seir's horns. V'dachvo l'achorav, and he would push it backwards. In other words, its hind legs would be standing closer to the ravine, and he would push it, that it would fall off the ravine backwards. V'yimiskalgo v'yored, and it would tumble down the ravine. V'loyim agiel l'chatziahar achinase varm varm. By the time it reached half of the ravine, it had already been crushed into different limbs. And then he stayed by the last sukkah until it was dark. Rashi adds that there's an important halach over here, that someone who's gone out of tchum, even if he's gone with permission, he doesn't even have 2,000 amos from the exit of his tchum. He has to stay in that exact spot. However, here, Chazal were lenient for two reasons. Number one, because he's fasting and he's weak. And also, to leave him alone in the dark midbar at night when the sun is already set is also inappropriate. Continues the Mishnah and concludes the Mishnah, Me'emasai mitame begadim, and when do his clothing become tame? Mishiyatza chutz l'chomas Yerushalayim. When he leaves the walls of Yerushalayim, that's when the clothing of the Ish-Iti become tame. As the Pasuk says, V'mishamleach es hasar yichabes begadav, his begotten become Tameh, and the Tanakhama is of the opinion that's when he leaves Yerushalayim. Rabbi Shimon Mishas Techiyasa Lutzok. Rabbi Shimon disagrees and says it only becomes Tameh, the begotten, when he's actually thrown the Seir off the ravine. The Gemara begins 10 lines from top of Samasayin Amalaf, Tan Rabbanan, Eser Sukkos Ushneim Aser Milin Hayu. The distance between the Beis HaMikdash and the ravine was a distance of 10 sukkos and a sum total of 12 milin from the beginning to the end. The way the math would work, according to the Shita, is the last sukkah to the tzok would be 2 mil. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Teisha sukkos, Vasar milin. Rabbi Yehuda said there were 9 sukkos and the sum total was 10 milin. Rabbi Yossi Amar Chamesh sukkos, Vasar milin hayu. Vikulon al yedei erev. The way in which the people from the sukkahs were able to be mishaleach, the mishaleach, was with an eruv. Here we're not talking about the string and pole that's sometimes referred to as colloquially as an eruv, but here, of course, we're talking about eruvei tchumin, that they were allowed to go out of their tchum. Rashi describes in the next few Rashis exactly how the numbers were calculated in regards to this distance. Wow, you see what an Israeli I've become, how hard it was to get the word calculated out. The Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Sachli Elazar Bini. Rabbi Yossi quoted his son Elazar as making the following observation. Rashi points out, almost as a way of rejecting the previous approaches, Im al yedei Erev, if the question is the distance between the sukkos based on the Erev, Yecholni lasos afilu shtei sukkos v'asar milin. All you need to have is 2 sukkos within 10 mil. Rashi explains that from this first sukkah, you could go out 2 mil. It means that you've already, from Yerushalayim to the first sukkah, and to the edge of its tchum is 4 mil. And then if an Erev is made, and the Erev from the second sukkah is made in the direction of the Yerushalayim, then that's enough already for it to overlap to solve the problem of the escort for the Mishaleach, and he will have enough of an escort just with the Erev of 2 sukkos, where eventually the circles will meet of the Eruvei Tchumin, and once he exits the first, he'll already enter the orbit of the second. Period. Now the Gemara asks another question. Kaman Ozla Hadesanya. Who does the Braisa follow that says, Chutz me'achron shebehen shelo igia imo latzok? That every single one of the sukkos, the people in the sukkos, would escort him, except for the last one, that they didn't go with him to the tzok. Elo ome merochok v'roa es masav. Who's that going to follow? Kaman k'Rebbe Meir. It will only make sense according to Rebbe Meir. Because according to the position of Rebbe Meir, the tzok was a distance of 2 mil from the sukkah, and that is outside the Tchum Shabbos. However, according to Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe Yossi, who the entire distance was not 12 mil as Rebbe Meir had presented, but rather was 10 mil, or for that matter, 10 mil as well. The only machlok between Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe Yossi was how many sukkos there were, but it was only 10 mil. So then the distance between last sukkah to tzok was only 1 mil. If it was only 1 mil, then in such a case, it's not outside of the tchum. And if it's not outside of the tchum, there's no reason for him not to be escorted by the last sukkah. In other words, the people in the last sukkah. The Mishnah had taught us, Al kol sukkah v'sukkah aimrim loy harei mazen v'harei mayim. They offered him food and drink. The Gemara describes that really he never took it. Tana me'olam lo hutzruch adam l'kach. He really didn't need it. Elo she'en adam, why did they offer? Because it's not comparable. Mishe yesh lo pas b'salo, mishe ein lo pas b'salo. This is an important expression. Someone who has bread in his basket is much more content, doesn't always need it, just knowing that it's in his basket is much better than someone who does not know that he has bread in his basket. Chazal also used this in description for the difference between a woman who's become a nida, who is a kala, who is never with her husband, then there is an isur yichud, versus a regular husband and wife, where we say that they're allowed to be miyached, even though she's a nida. The Mishnah continues, Ma yosa cholek, Lashon Shel Zahoris. They used to divide the string that was on the goat. Asks the Gemara, V'nikterei kulei b'sela. Why don't they just put the entire thread onto the rack? Answers the Gemara, Kiva the mitzvah b'se'ir. Since the main mitzvah is to throw the se'ir off the cliff, Dilma kadem umalbin umesvedaite. We're afraid that even before that was done, the thread, as we've mentioned in the past, that there was an amazing thing that would happen, that the red thread would turn to white. Maybe it'll happen before the goat was pushed off the cliff, and then he'll forget about the mitzvah seir. So they, that reason, they also tie it to the seir. And since he's constantly involved with the seir until it goes down the ravine, Rashi claims that it would not turn white, it definitely would not turn white, until it was thrown down the ravine. So the Gemara answers, Dilma kadimu malbin umesve daite, v'niktere kule ben karnev, then why don't you tie all of it between the horns of the seir? Zinmin de gamish le l'resha v'lava daite. What might happen is the head would be buried under the body when it ran down the ravine, and the ish'iti, would not see and notice that it is turned white, and then there would be a concern that Klal Yisrael's averus were not mechaper. Tan Rabbanan Rishoni Koshrin Loshen Shel Zahoris Al Pesach Ulam Mibachutz. Originally, the bindle, the thread, was tied on the opening of the outside of the Heichal. Hilb Hayu Smechen. When it became white, people would rejoice. Lo hilbin hayu atzavin umisbaishin. They would be sad and embarrassed. Hiskinu shiyu koshin al pesach ulam mibefnim. They made a takana not to publicize, because it was just almost too traumatic to see whether their averos were mechupar or not, but it should be hanging towards the inside. But they used to crane their necks to try to see. V'adayin hayu mitzitzin v'roin. They looked, and if it wasn't white, they would be sad. So that's why they made the takana to put it in the way that we learned. Of course, as we've learned, there weren't many people with the ish-iti as well to crane to check. Amar Rav Nachum bar Papa Mishum Rebbe Lazar Kfar, Rav Yishon ha'yi koshin loshin zohar sal pesel shalom mifnim, kivin shigi asir lemidbar, Hayimalbin. They used to tie it on the opening of the Heichal, and when the seir reached the midbar, then it became white. V'yadu shenasas mitzvah. So then they know that the seir mitzvah of throwing down was completed. Shnemar imyuchatechem kashanim kasheleg yalbinu. The source for this idea of turning white is that the pasuk Yeshayahu says that if we're red with sin, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will turn us to white. The Mishnah told us, we continue three lines to the bottom, Lo Yei Megi El Machzis Ahar, it wasn't even halfway down the ravine, and it already
had dismembered. What's the halacha in regards to deriving benefit from those dismembered limbs? Rav Shmuel, charam mutar mecharam asur. It's a machlokis. One says mutar, one says asur. Manda amr mutar in dechsiv bamidbar. Umanda amr asur in dechsiv gzeira. Chazal darshan, according to the first man number on the top of Samach Zayin on the base, that it's like a midbar that's hefker. And some say, you look at the word gzeira. The word gzeira is lashon of iser. Umanda amr asur in high midbar mayavid. What does he do when the pasuk says that you're supposed to send it bamidbar gzeira? What is the word bamidbar coming to teach us? V'chidusanya hamidbara hamidbara bamidbar. It says it three different times. L'rabos nov v'givon. Shiloh Beis Olam. That Seir applied even when the Mishkan was in Nov and Givon and Shiloh, as well as its eternal home at the Beis Hamikdash. The Idach HaGzeira Mayavet Le. What does he use the word Gzeira for? Mibayle Lichvesanya Gzeira in. Excuse me, Ein Gzeira Ela Chatucha. That when it says Gzeira, Gzeira refers to something that is sharp. That the ravine is a very, very sharp ravine. It goes down, and it's not a mountain that is sloped. Davar acher, en gzeira, el davar hamiskazer v'yored. It means something that is torn apart, is shearing apart, which is seir is torn apart. Davar acher, gzeira, shema teomer maisa tohein. Here the Gemara asks what might be on many people's minds. And that is, you would say, this is a really, really strange ritual. Tamalomer ani Hashem gezartiv ve'ein lecha rishus laharer bohen. In other words, the word gzeira by midbar be'eretz gzeira is actually coming to tell us the word gzeira is that gzeira is hakazu from Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and it's okay if we don't understand it, and we're not supposed to understand it. Amar Rava mistaber kaman da amar mutarit. It's logical that the correct halacha is that it's permissible to derive benefit from the evarim of the seir. Lo amar Torah shalach l'takala. The Torah would not have said to send it to bring us to a takala. We've used that term earlier, and that refers to an obstacle in regards to kachim, that people will come to use the kachim in an inappropriate manner. If the seir is going to be down a ravine, it could be that days later somebody will find it, and they will not know that you're not allowed to derive benefit from it, and that will be a takal of kachim. So it's not logical that the Torah would have created that obstacle. Tan Rabbanan, azazel, what does the word seir la'azazel mean? Shie ez vikasha. It's supposed to be a harsh ravine. Yachol biyishuv. I might think that as long as it's a ravine, even if it's in an area that people live, a district, Talmud Omar Bamidbar, specifically in the desert, Minayin Shebitzok, and how do I know it's supposed to be on a ravine? Talmud Omar Zera. Zera, as we mentioned before, could refer also to a sharp ravine. Tani Idach, we learned another braisa, Azazel Kasha Shebaharb, the harshest of the mountains. V'cheinu Oimer, and this is what the Pasuk in Yecheskel says, "Vayikach mizer amucha vayiches ito bris vayove oso ba'olaves elei ha'aretz lokach." Chazal here are quoting the pasuk because they're separating the words azazel. They're separating the azaz from the el, and the word el is a word of harshness. That he took the harshest land. That Bavel took the harshest land. That's what El is being referred to in the pasuk in Yecheskel. Tandver Rabbi Shmuel Azazel shemechapra al maise uza va'azael. It atones for the sin of Uza and Azazel. Rashi explains that they are destructive angels. They're referred to in the pasuk when the pasuk says vayiru bnei olhim es benos ha'adam and did destructive actions. And that is, as the pasuk seems to describe, that they took women in an inappropriate way. So it's mechaper for that. Tanu Rabbanan, the pasuk says, "It's mishpatai tasu. You shall keep the statutes of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Dvar mishal malei nichtavu. that even if it had not been written in the Torah, dinu shiichtavu, it would have been logical. Ve'eluhein, avodas kochavim, idol worship, v'gilui arayus, and people not being committed to each other, and just being osik in znus, v'shvichas dam, murder, v'gezelu, berchas Hashem. Those are things that everybody would understand, and cursing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's all logical that those should be aser. However, eschukasai tishmoru, the Torah also says, my statutes that are chukim. Dvarim shasata meishiv aleihem. There are things that the satan, Rashi says here, the satan means the Yetzirah. He has, trips up people, and he has answers for them. He says, what's behind this? This is ridiculous. Ve'elohein achilas chazir. People don't understand the prohibition of eating pork. Ulevisha shatnas, wearing shatnas, v'chalitzas yevama, and the halachos of chalitza, utaharas mitzora, and the way of mitzora is purified, v'si'ir mishtaleach. That's why we mention over here, si'ir mishtaleach is a chok that we don't understand. V'shem v'asa tohen, and you might think that it's something that doesn't make any sense. Tam lomar ni Hashem, ani Hashem chikaktiv, ve'ein l'cha rishus lahar bohen. You don't have permission to think after them. Why HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to, because we'll not come to any real understanding. Finally, we learned in our Mishnah, Eimosai metame begadim. When does the begadim of the ish iti hamidbara become tame? So we learned in our Mishnah the two opinions. Either when he goes out of Yerushalayim, and Reb Shimon says only when the goat is pushed off the ravine. Tan Rabbanan mishalech metame begadim, ve'ein hasholeach es hamishalech metame begadim. Only the mishalech himself's clothes become tame. The people who escort from the sukkos and from Yerushalayim, the mishalech himself, the ishiti himself, their begadim do not become tame. Yachol mishiyatza chutz lechomas azara. I might think that they become tame immediately when he leaves the azara. Tamalomer hamishalech. Ia mishalech yachol ad sheyagiel etzok. The pasuk mishalech means that he's really sent away. He's not sent away when he just walked out of the Beis Hamikdash. At least out of Yerushalayim. Asks the Gemara, maybe it means until he reaches the ravine. Remember, we just said that that's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, but the Tanakhama says only once he reaches Yerushalayim. So it seems right now we're going to be following the opinion of the Tanakhama. Tam lomer v'mishalech. Since it says it with an extra vav, so then we see the beginning of his shlichus. V'ha! And when he is sent away, once he's out of Yerushalayim. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Omer Azazel v'chibes. The word Azazel and v'chibes are next to each other, and the point is that the kvisa is done when it's ba'azazel. There's a chiyuv of kvisa when it's ba'azazel. Ad shegia letzok, only when he reaches the ravine. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer v'amishloach es ha'si'ir la'azazel yichabes begadav zarko bebas rosho umetam begadav. Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that it becomes Tameh, he becomes Tameh, his begadim, only when the goat is actually thrown off the ravine. The difference between the Shita of Rabbi Shimon and the Shita of Rabbi Yossi is that Rabbi Yossi says the moment he reaches the ravine, his begadim become Tameh. Rabbi Shimon says that he has to be pushed off. This Be'ezer Hashem concludes Daf Samech Zayin in Maseches Yuma. Be'ezer Hashem, tomorrow we will pick up with the Mishnah 10 lines from the bottom on Samech Zayin Amud Beis.